Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. I am your host, Diane Sorensen, certified life coach, hypnotherapy practitioner, mother, grandmother, and human fascinated with behavior and how to live our best life. My goal is to offer you another perspective, to see behavior in ourselves, our children, and others from another angle. This podcast is for anyone who wants to feel more connected in their relationships. It's for anyone who feels the pull for something more. It's for parents and those who are not. This podcast is for anyone who wants to take a deeper look, because this is where we talk about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs, cultivating deeper connections in our life, and leading our life with more confidence and clarity. And I believe that's when beautiful behavior comes into focus. You can learn more about my process, me, and the three different ways in which beautiful behavior could come into focus for you at my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Okay, listeners, let's go. Hello, everyone. I am so glad you're here. And before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to let you know that I have officially opened the second cohort of the Reinvention Group Program. We're planning to start January 26th. So Reinvention is a powerful 9-week program that guides you out of the drama and into feeling more empowered, more in control, more calm, connected, and confident in your relationships and in your parenting. It is the foundation for healthy, connected relationships. There's early bird pricing. The early bird pricing goes until January 15th, I believe it is. And then it goes up $200 from there. So check it out. Get registered at dianesorensen.net. dianesorensen.net. And I will put the link also in the show notes. All right, everybody, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. So today I'm talking about the most important relationship you will ever have, and that is the relationship you have with yourself. And I know it sounds really weird to say that, and I often talk about this, and somebody made the comment one day about, well, people don't know what you're talking about when you say that. And my thought was, precisely, that's why we need to be talking about this more. Because culturally, we are trained and conditioned to look away from ourselves to others, right? Take care of other people. What are other people thinking? Take care of other people, you know, don't upset anybody. And so we get trained to look at how other people are responding to us and then gauging our actions on their responses. And this is not an honest, connected relationship. You know, this is based on who I should be, who I'm supposed to be, how I shouldn't be, and then basing those expectations on other people. This is how you should be, especially our children. This is how you shouldn't be. This is what you're supposed to do. And those three words, should, shouldn't, and supposed to, are diminishing. It says, I cannot be who I am. I have to be whatever the expectation is that I'm supposed to be or should be or shouldn't be. So my point here is, if we want to have healthy, connected relationships with others, we must have a healthy relationship with ourselves. And most of us aren't even aware of what kind of relationship we're having with ourselves. So as we explore this, I invite you to ask yourself these questions. One is, how do I treat myself? So for instance, how do I talk to myself in my head? Is that self-talk critical? Is it kind? Is it not kind? You know, so just becoming open to noticing, how do I talk to myself in my head? Because sometimes it can sound like this, oh my gosh, that was so stupid. Why would I do that? Or I can't believe I forgot that. Oh, I'm so dumb. So just becoming aware and noticing what that voice in your head sounds like. So the other question to ask yourself is, how do I take compliments? Do I brush them off? You know, saying things like, oh, what, you know, this old thing? Or, oh, you think my hair is good today? Oh, I was thinking I had a bad hair day. Or, you know, we somehow diminish the compliment. So notice that. Notice, do you receive the compliment and say thank you? Or do you somehow brush it off? Another question is, do you own your accomplishments? It kind of goes along with a little bit of how you take compliments, but how do you celebrate your own accomplishments? When somebody says, wow, you know, I don't know, whatever it is you accomplished, do you brush that off or diminish it somehow, make it smaller? I don't want to outshine anybody. You know, maybe that you had a financial gain. And, you know, instead of celebrating that, you just kind of downplay it. Again, not wanting to be too much or outshine anybody. I remember when I was young, probably around 10-ish or so, and I don't know why this memory just sticks in my mind so much, but I always remember this. We were in the house I grew up at, up in. We were in our living room, and my mom and dad were there, and they were having a conversation between them about they've gotten the house paid off. So they were, you know, kind of celebrating it with each other. And then I remember my mom looking at me and saying, and don't you go out in the neighborhood and tell anybody about this. And I remember feeling so confused about that, about, well, isn't this a good thing? And if so, why should nobody know about it? And I think that was a significant, that scenario played a significant role in my limiting beliefs around money and how money is a dirty little secret. So notice that. Notice how you take compliments. Notice how you celebrate your own accomplishments or don't celebrate your own accomplishments or diminish them. So why does this matter? So if we are talking down to ourselves, if we're, you know, calling ourselves names and criticizing ourselves in our head, or we are not able to receive compliments, or not able to fully own our own accomplishments, this is where we are, you know, it's basically the belief that we're not enough, right? I'm not good enough to be talked to in a compassionate way. I'm not good enough to receive these compliments. I'm not good enough to have all of this accomplishment. You know, even though maybe I accomplished this, there's that nagging belief that, well, I don't know how I got here, but by some fluke, I did. So the root of this is that belief, you know, this unconscious, hidden belief, limiting belief, shadow belief, that I'm not good enough. And if that is the belief, then we go around trying to prove ourselves in the eyes of others. And we want that validation. We look for that validation, right? We want them to give us the compliments. But then somehow we have learned, we have been conditioned to, that receiving it is selfish or bragging. So we brush it off or diminish it because we don't want to be that, right? We don't want to be bragging. Because again, if we did that, then we wouldn't be seen in an acceptable way in the eyes of others. And so, you know, we've learned I can't be this and I can't be that and I can't be too much of that. And we whittle away at our wholeness. We whittle away at our self-worth, our worthiness, our enoughness. Trying to be what culture has told us we should be, we shouldn't be, and how we're supposed to be. And then we expend tremendous amount of time and energy trying to be enough in what everybody else that we perceive what we're supposed to be. And this diminishes ourselves. Every single day, we go out and try to prove ourselves to the world and try to be what we think others want us to be in whatever situation that is, you know, right? We're like the chameleon trying to be something for everyone, do all the things to feel safe and in control, where in truth, we're actually spinning out of control. And we're overwhelmed and we're exhausted. Now, how can we have a healthy, connected relationship with someone else if that is what is happening within ourselves? And the answer is we cannot. So that's why this is so incredibly important, that we start looking at the relationship I'm having with myself so that I can have healthier, connected relationships with others. And this is the way we break these cycles, these generational patterns that are no longer serving us or our relationships. And here's the other thing. It's not your fault. It's not your fault that, you know, you criticize yourself or talk down to yourself in your head. It's not your fault that you brush off compliments or don't take ownership of your accomplishments. It's not your fault if you think you're not enough. It's not anybody's fault. It's not about that. It is the conditioning. But when we are willing to recognize those certain areas of ourself, when we are willing to understand ourselves in a deeper way, because here's the thing, when we have a relationship with somebody, we have to get to know them, right? We have to spend time with them, understand them, and we want to understand them. So when we are willing to have a relationship with ourselves, to enhance our life, to live a more fulfilled life, that's when we're willing to start looking at ourselves, to start spending time with ourselves. It's not about being alone. It's about being with ourselves, not, you know, turning on the TV and all that. And I'm not saying that's bad, but we also need to be willing to create the time and space to be with ourselves, just like we would if, you know, we wanted to nurture a relationship with somebody else. If we truly want to nurture a relationship with somebody else, we've got to start with ourselves. So spending time with yourself, beginning to understand yourself, noticing that voice, what is it saying? And then becoming curious, why would it be so critical? And this is the journey to self-discovery. And it is a beautiful journey. And it is a messy journey. And it is a uncomfortable journey. And it is a powerful journey. And if we want to enhance our relationship with our children, we need to start at enhancing the relationship with ourselves. And if you're a yeller like I was, you know, we often blame our kids for why we're yelling. And this doesn't nurture a healthy, connected relationship. Blame keeps us from having connected relationships. Blame and judgment, criticizing, you know, that puts fractures in our relationship. And without repair, those fractures eventually lead to, you know, the breaking down of relationships, and all you have are power struggles. And I know a lot about power struggles because there was a time in my life where I was in constant power struggles with my children, especially, but also with my then partner, with my mother. You know, there was a lot of blame to be thrown around. So yelling is a sign that I need to turn inward and get to know myself better, to understand my pain. Yelling is an indication that there is pain there to be resolved. And a lot of times we're asking ourselves, oh my gosh, why can't I start yelling? Stop yelling. Stop yelling. Why can't I stop yelling? I'm going to stop yelling. And 5 minutes later, there I am again yelling. And then what happens is, then we start blaming ourselves, start criticizing ourselves, and diminishing ourselves. And it's this whole cycle. So yelling is a way to offload our pain onto someone else. And unfortunately, that is our children. And again, this isn't your fault. We're not trying to cause pain to our children. But if we do not turn towards ourselves and understand what's going on with me, what is triggering me, what this trigger is about, and we don't work that out within ourselves in our own process, then we will work it out on our children, and they will carry that pain into another generation. Again, this is how we break these cycles. So how do you start nurturing a relationship with yourself? Number one, create the time and space to be with yourself, just to sit and reflect, or have your favorite coffee, curl up with a blanket for 5 minutes and just sit with yourself and just notice what happens. Notice if it's like, oh my God, I can't stand this. I need to get up and do something. That's information, right? Just notice that. Notice it. So create a habit of spending 5 minutes with yourself a day. Maybe it's at the beginning of the day. And if you do this at the same time every day, it's easier to create that habit. 5 minutes a day with you. Get up, have your favorite coffee before kids get up, before you head out to your day to be with yourself. Number two, journal. Start a journaling practice. You can get, there's the 5 minute journal that you can get through Amazon. There's all kinds of different journaling prompts that you can, just Google journaling prompts and I'll give you some if you have a hard time getting started. Whatever it is, just journal, just putting your thoughts down on paper. Now, when I first started journaling, I didn't even know what that was. It's like, it was like writing in a diary. Okay, today I did this. And that's not what journaling is. Journaling is more about just getting thoughts down on paper. And here's a really great way to start too. Set a timer. You can do it for however long you can, you know, if it's 2 minutes, if it's 5 minutes, set a timer and just free write. Even if it's, this is so stupid, I don't know what to write, I don't even know why I'm doing this, and just keep going for 5 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever you decide is that you're able to do at this point. Because you're getting out on paper through the pen what is inside. And a lot of times people will resist this, but again, you're resisting yourself. You're abandoning yourself when you cannot spend time with you. And of course, it will feel uncomfortable because it's new. Anything we start that's new is, at first it's kind of like, oh, this is, it's novelty. Our brain likes novelty. It's like, ooh, what is this? And we're curious. And then after a little bit, it's like, okay, this is boring. I want to, let's do something else. So stay with it and just notice that. Because as we start doing something consistently, it's changing a pattern. And then our brain goes, whoa, this is not the pattern. Go back. And so we can notice that and go, no, it's okay. We're starting a new pattern and just keep going. So starting small with 2 minutes, 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes is great because it's the consistency that changes the pattern, not the actual length of time or how big the step is. Small steps you're going to be able to do more consistently, and consistency is what disrupts the pattern. And if you want to go deeper, head on over to my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Fill out an application to work with me one-on-one. And from there, we will build your individualized program to get you from where you are to where you want to be. All right, everybody, have a great week. And we'll see you right back here next week. Hello and welcome. It's a new week and the podcast has a new look. And a slightly different name. So why the change? Well, basically, I have outgrown beauty in behavior and have grown into beautiful behavior. So here's the deal. When I started coaching 2 years ago, my target audience was parents of young children, because that's the background I came from. I came from an early childhood background, and I believed then, and I still believe, that the behavior children display is a catalyst for change, But what we learn along the way is what needs changing. And as I continued on my own discovery journey and became a hypnotherapist practitioner, a certified coach, my programs have grown to serve a bigger audience. So I've grown and I needed my whole brand to grow with me. I needed a brand that reflected that growth and that I could really get behind and connect to, believe in, and live. And so even though the podcast has a new look, the cover art is new, and the name is slightly different, it is still the same podcast. We will continue to talk about taking a more conscious approach in our relationships, whether that is the parent-child relationship or the many other relationships that we have in our life. And life is all about relationships. In fact, everything is a relationship. We have relationships with people, and we also have relationships with other things such as food, money, boundaries. And we don't often think about those as relationships, but they are relationships. And the most important relationship of all is the relationship we have with ourselves. And that is a relationship we don't often think about, even though it is the most important one. I mean, think about it. If we don't have a good relationship with ourselves, how can we expect anyone else to have a good relationship with us? If we don't like ourselves, how can we expect others to like us? And do we even know how we feel about ourselves? I mean, because it's oftentimes we don't. It's just not something that we're used to thinking about. But think about, how do you treat yourself? Or how do you talk to yourself in your head? Do you have this critical voice always, you know, talking to you when you make a mistake? How do you talk to yourself? Are you like, oh, that was difficult for you, that, you know, you made a mistake? Are you thinking about the solution? Or are you beating yourself up in your head like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that again. Why do I do all this stupid stuff? I'm such an idiot. Because I know that's the way I talk to myself, that I used to talk to myself. I've since created a practice of talking to myself much more compassionately. And what I've discovered is, as I talk to myself and treat myself with more compassion, I actually start treating other people with more compassion, giving other people more grace and more understanding. Because as we understand ourselves at a deeper level, we understand others at a deeper level. So here is where we start becoming aware of this stuff. I love talking about and comparing our traditional model, which I call an outdated model, to a new upgraded conscious model. Our traditional model is all of our conditioning, all of our conditioned patterns, and things that we don't even have to think about. We just do them without thinking. And many of them are outdated cultural beliefs, such as a well-behaved child equals a good parent, or children need to feel bad to do better, or I just need to please everybody and do everything for everybody to earn their approval and validation. And even though it can feel good to do that at times, it is exhausting. And after a while, it creates anger and resentment, because now I don't have any boundaries. I'm just doing whatever everybody else wants me to do. And why am I not getting my needs filled? Why aren't you doing for me? And so anyway, this is where we kind of tease all of that apart and look behind these beliefs at what's really happening. What's the message behind them? And we'll continue to talk about feelings and emotions and actually having a relationship with our emotions. That's another relationship, and that goes along with the relationship we're having with ourselves. Are we honoring our feelings? Are we allowing ourselves to have our feelings? Because in the traditional model, we weren't allowed to do that. In the traditional model, feelings are seen as oftentimes disrespectful. Anger for sure, right? Anger for sure is, don't you talk to me that way. Don't have anger, in other words. And when we are not able to have our feelings, we do not learn to manage them. So we talk, you know, there's a lot of talk in the world about self-regulation, and we cannot regulate ourselves, our emotions, if we don't allow ourselves to have them. And we are an avoidant culture, avoidant of feelings because they're uncomfortable. And so we have unconsciously created coping skills at a young age to feel comfortable, to feel safe. At a young age, it was to feel safe. As we get older, we want comfort, and feelings are uncomfortable. And so we have learned to avoid them, distract ourselves from them in many ways. Could be distracting ourselves with food or drinking or shopping or whatever it is we do in excess. So we don't have to feel that discomfort, and we don't even know we're doing it. So again, this is where we create awareness around these things, because if we're not feeling our own feelings and have the ability to manage them, we are throwing them out. We're projecting them out onto others. So this is where we learn how to listen to ourselves. You know, we're always saying, I think every day I hear, you know, somebody say they're not listening. Usually, a lot of times referring to their children, but also could be their partner or their mother or whoever it is. And oftentimes, most of the time really, it's us not listening to us. So if we're yelling, that is something within us trying to get our attention. Now it's having to yell at us because we are not listening, but it comes out in yelling at others. It's projecting that. So if you're a yeller, be aware. Start being aware of what's going on inside of you, because we can only push down and suppress our feelings for so long before they bubble out onto everybody else. And usually that everybody else is the people we're closest to, our children, our partner. And they're usually the ones that trigger us the most as well, because they are the closest to us and it's more personal. So traditionally, we look outwards at our external world, and we try to control and manipulate it in a way that is going to make us feel good on the inside. So we look at what's going on the outside to make us feel good on the inside, which is really backwards. We actually need to go inward and create the feelings we want to be feeling in order to create what we want to experience on the outside. So in other words, what we experience on the inside manifests itself on the outside. So in other words, our external experiences are a reflection of our internal experiences. So if we are experiencing chaos in our world, it's a reflection of the chaos that we are experiencing on the inside and that we're probably ignoring. So if we want to create more peace in our world, if we want to experience more peace, I hear that a lot of times that people are like, oh, I just want peace. Then that needs to be created on the inside, not waiting for someone else or whatever to change. It's not about other people changing or even the situation necessarily changing. It's how we or what we are experiencing on the inside is what is creating our external experience. So traditionally, we are looking backwards. We're looking to the outside to make us feel better when we go inward to feel better, then it reflects on our outward experiences. So how do we do that? So we start paying attention to what it feels like in our body. And I know that sounds weird, but we live so much in our head and in our thoughts that we pay no attention to our body at all, to really what is going on inwardly, how we are really feeling in our body. We can become so attached to our thinking that it's like that's who we are, and we are not. We are not our thinking. We are not our thoughts. We are, and our thinking happens. You know, we can have a thought and see it, watch it, and let it go by, let it go, and have another thought, kind of like clouds floating by in the sky. So spend some time allowing your focus, your attention to drop down into your body and just really feeling, just noticing what's there. And, you know, you can do this through meditation, you can do it through mindfulness, you can do, you know, tapping. There's a lot of practices that you can do, deep breathing practice. There are a lot of apps that help promote mindfulness and stillness. And that's what it's all about. It's about detaching a little bit from our constant thinking and start to feel, because our feelings are our internal guidance system. They are all there for a reason. I think most of us, I did anyway, really kind of learned that feelings, you know, the only feeling you really wanted to have was the happy one. And then, of course, not too much of that either, not too happy. Too excited was too much. But, you know, really that sad, angry, disappointment, all of those were feelings to avoid. And when we avoid them, we don't allow them to guide us. We don't understand the messages that they're trying to give us and what it's trying to get us to pay attention to. So that's one way of learning to have a relationship with yourself and really honoring you, paying attention to you. What are your desires? What do you want? Because a lot of times we have no idea what we want. We know what we don't want a lot of times, don't always know what we do want. It's like, well, what do you want? And it's like, oh my gosh, that's like an overwhelming question. So ask yourself, what do you not want, right? Not this. I don't want this. I don't want this chaos. Well, what's the opposite of chaos? Peace. So then create a practice that helps you create that inner peace or whatever it is. At one point in my journey, I realized that what I was craving was authenticity. And it made sense because I had lived so much of my life trying to be what I thought everybody else wanted me to be, or what I thought would gain me acceptance. And I had disconnected so much from myself that feeling of authenticity, that feeling of, you know, just showing up and being myself was what I craved. And so that took me on, you know, this whole journey of understanding myself at a deeper level and, having a better relationship with myself and really learning what that authenticity was. And, you know, because I got to a point in my life where I'm like, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore. And I know I'm not alone in that because I've had a lot of people say to me, it's like, I don't know who I am anymore. And, you know, they feel very vulnerable saying that and a little silly because it sounds kind of silly, but it's not. I mean, I think so many of us experience that again, because traditionally our traditional conditioning is to fit in, gain acceptance, gain approval, to feel loved. And so we learn this at a young age. So this journey is all about coming back to yourself. And as we nurture and grow that relationship, all of our relationships bloom. And so when we think about it like this, we can really think about our feelings as really a beautiful journey back to ourself. Our feelings are trying to get us to come back to ourself. And we can think of behavior as that too. Behavior, you know, gets such a bad rap in our culture. You know, we talk about behavior as the bad stuff, you know, like all behavior is bad. And if they're not, you know, misbehaving, then they don't have behavior. Well, we all have behavior. Behavior is a language. Behavior is what it gives us information. It gives us information into our experience, what we're experiencing on the inside, because behavior is driven from the inside out. It starts inwardly with our thoughts and our feelings. And that drives behavior. And so when we see, whether it's a child or an adult, using negative behavior, they're having a negative internal experience. But behavior is also positive. I mean, we use a lot of positive behavior too when our inner world is going well, then, you know, our behavior reflects that as well. So behavior, just as feelings, are a navigation tool. And we need to listen to behavior, not try to get rid of it, just like we try to get rid of feelings. We really need to listen to these things to guide us and to navigate us on this journey. And that's why I say it's beautiful. Because as we change our perception, as we see these things from another angle, beautiful behavior comes into focus. And we have a different relationship with behavior. So again, as we take a deeper dive and understand these things at a deeper level, all of our relationships bloom and flourish. And it really is a beautiful journey. So I hope you will join me here each week as we dive into these concepts and learn how to live our best life. So until next week, have a great one, and I'll meet you back here.